Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Grappling Rewind Podcast.
I'm Maine.
I'm Josh.
This week's episode, we're going to cover Fight to Win Pro 58 in Sacramento, California, Abu Dhabi Grand Slam, the IBJJF European brackets, and a little bit of sumo.
Just a touch.
So we're going to get into it. Josh, how you been this week?
I'm doing. Drinking this apple juice that smells like oatmeal.
Yeah, we're trying to make our voices a little less, what's the word?
Shitty.
Phlegmy. Shitty. Works too. And apparently that's supposed to do it.
Listening to other podcasts telling you what to do. So now I'm drinking apple juice.
We're going to jump right into Fight to Win Pro 58. Typically we do news, but there is not a whole lot of news this week.
No, there's not. But that's fine because jiu-jitsu.
We're finally out of the drought.
Yeah.
So Fight to Win Pro 58 out of Sacramento, California. 31 matches. And their event paid out $36,917 in purses and compensation. This match was...
Commission. Learn how to read.
Oh, it does say commission, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. This
by the way, there were 14 submissions on this card out of that. That's 45% submission rate.
Good card. 14 black belt matches on this card as well.
Yeah. So you could potentially have 14 black belt submissions, but that wasn't the case. So as usual, here's Josh's complaining corner. Flow Grappling is taking forever to put up the videos to rewatch them. This didn't end until almost 2 o'clock Eastern time.
I went to sleep, Josh.
I am old. Why do you expect me to stay up that late? Jeez. No, it was on really late, and it's good when you don't want to miss any of the matches. It's not good if you don't want to stay up that late because somebody eventually in your house is going to wake you up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Josh has children. They will wake him up in the morning. I have no children, only a dog that will sleep as long as I sleep.
You're just lazy.
I trained three times today.
Yeah, whatever. Your girlfriend will get up earlier than you and go train and go to work and then still keep going, and you're just like, yeah, I just woke up, had a bowl of cereal. Anyway, the other weird thing about this card, I don't know if it was planned or maybe it was just they were zipping through things and they had to get stuff on the move, was they were jumping between all the belts, all sorts of different matches.
And they've done that occasionally. I think they put the purple belt match for the belt in with the black belts one or two cards ago.
Yeah, but this was even more all over the place. You had a few kids matches thrown in and all sorts of other stuff, but it didn't throw off anything. There was just continual action, so that wasn't a bad thing. But they started off, which was another shocker, black belt-wise, with Patty Fontes versus Livia Gluchowska, which was a title fight. Awesome. What a great match to start that off with.
But usually they say that to the end, so that was a little weird that they saved. They started the black belts off with the title fight.
A little weird, but I'm not complaining. That really set the pace, I would say. It was a good match. It was very calculated. A lot of back and forthing. Livia was very heavy on top, and Patty was totally okay with that. Continuously, you know, trying to come up from half guard position, that sort of dogfight position. I mean, she is from Checkmat, so probably trains a little bit with Lucas Leitch.
Which they tend to do that a little bit.
I would say, you know, I can't say for sure, but why not? It was really good. Patty caught Livia in a toe hold, and Livia caught Patty near the end of it in a heel hook.
Patty was making some faces there, and we weren't sure if she was making faces because she was kind of playing for the cameras or if she was in a deep
She was like, oh shit, this is really sketchy and my shit might pop. But either way, they gave it to Patty. I didn't have an issue with that. I felt it could have gone either way, so I was totally okay with the decision.
She retains the belt now.
Not retains. Gained.
Oh, she gained the belt.
Gained the belt.
Oh, I don't know why I thought she had the belt. I thought she...
I bet you this was a heavier match. I don't remember the weight class for it. We're going to do some ninja editing, and it'll be like, it was at 135. Or something like that. But I know the Patty Fontes and... Now I'm forgetting her name. Talita Alencar. That was at 125. So maybe this was heavier.
Wouldn't surprise me. I know that that Patty's gone up before to 35. So
possibility. So that was a great way to start it off.
So after that match, we had the Nicholas Green and David Mitchell match.
Split decision. There's a lot of fight of the nights. Flow Grappling does a lot of copy and pasting, and I'm not 100% sure if they even edit it. So, because there's more than one on there.
Well, there's more than one fight of the night and more than one submission of the night for each belt and each division. So there's a couple. Usually only have one fight of the night, as it is the fight of the night. And the black belts right now have two fight of the nights listed, and this being one of them. So we'll have to double check on that and figure that out, put that in the show notes. But this is listed as fight of the night.
One of them.
One of the fight of the nights for the card.
Mark Bones. And it is Bones.
It's not Bones.
It's not. I heard it on the broadcast. It was Bones. Defeated James Cotter. Split decision. By the way, commentary on point. Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. But the pieces that I heard were, you know, moving through talent stories, but not detracting.
Yes.
Good knowledge of position, good flow with the broadcast, and, you know, just moving along well. I like the commentary for this event. Josh, did you catch who the commentators were?
I did not. I'm going to have to go back and catch that.
Honestly, usually Fight to Win has pretty good commentators.
It's normally somewhat local people and people that have experience doing it or aren't idiots most of the time. So, you know, we'll find that out. Shout out to them. Last time it was one of the Camarillos and no, one of the Camarillos was on, but then it was also the guys from On the Mat.
Yes. Yeah.
That was excellent too. Yes.
It was Gumby.
Ernest Mello, who they have him listed under his Facebook name as Ronin Jiu-Jitsu, defeats Billy Ray Chubb's best name on the card by decision. Ernest was just all over Billy Ray the entire match. And it was obvious he was going to win. He was trying to catch something the entire time, but did not. Next person from Inside BJJ podcast, Tim Freeman, was defeated by Sean Cox by armbar. Sean Cox is the weirdest looking dancer in the world. He does this weird finger pointing thing.
Josh, we have the weirdest and we probably have the whitest. The whitest looking dancer. He got those white moves.
I don't know. Have you seen Jose dance? I mean, he looks white, but he's not. But still, those are some white people moves right there.
I'll give you that. I think he takes second place, though.
At least. Second place. But Sean was in there like swimwear, attacked that armbar really quick, and Tim didn't really have time to readjust or anything like that, and got tapped.
Yeah, fast, really fast sub.
Really, really fast. Chad Bingham defeats Cola Vida by decision. Chad Bingham started this off by doing a flying triangle. I think Cola's idea was, don't slam him because I might get stuck in the triangle.
Which is not unreasonable.
No, so he waited and readjusted until he was in guard and then slammed him down. So that, you know, technically puts you up on points in decision-making process for a fight to win.
Yeah, how do they score slams typically?
It's like a submission attempt.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So, you know, that's a submission attempt. And the flying triangle was, you know, it was at the start. It wasn't locked in all the way. So I wouldn't say that was a near sub. It was just there. It was fucking awesome.
Submission attempt.
Flying triangles are hilariously awesome.
We see a flying triangle almost every event. Somebody,
it gets close. Somebody does it. Somebody Why not? Does it.
Yeah. Usually a purple belt trying to make a name, a brown belt that's their thing, or a black belt that's fucking trying to take them down. Yeah.
That's just great. Daryl Rocky Fort defeats Aaron Martinez by face crank. I actually went to the bathroom during this match. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I just went to the bathroom and then I just heard, and I went back and my wife wasn't happy that it was very noisy late at night. And
he had gone by, but over the face crank.
So I didn't get to catch that one. So one I'll be watching again. Elizabeth Mitrovic defeats Sarah Fearon by decision. That one was also...
We've seen Fearon before, I think.
I believe so.
I can't recall which card, but we've seen her not in the too distant past.
No, Maine's trying to get something together, and we're going to have to talk to somebody about having a match aggregator so we can, or a database, and we can quickly access, oh, who's this person, and search them up and be like, oh, okay, they were on this. So
BGG Heroes kind of has that, but they only have it for like the big world name guys.
Well, we need it for everybody. So, you know, anybody want to help out, or we'll just ask one of our training partners that knows a
database or SQL database or something like that.
Something like that. Jamie Jarre defeated Brian Pangelion by reverse triangle, which got submission of the night.
You don't see a lot of reverse triangles.
No, no, you don't. And I've never known Jamie Jarre as like a grappler. Every time I see his name, I immediately think of him punching people in the face and then beating the ever loving shit out of them. I mean, I've seen his grappling, but not,
he's a good grappler. I mean,
not as just a pure grappler. So that was cool to see. And seeing a reverse triangle is also, you know, something to do.
Yeah, reverse triangle is not something you see a whole lot of black belts get got with. It's one of those subs that guys do not want to tap to. What do you think, Josh?
I think most subs they don't want to tap to because they don't want to lose.
It's something like, it's like a wrist lock. It's like you just don't want to tap to a reverse triangle.
Look, you got to tap. It's like you get caught. It sucks, but you don't want to get caught with some wild fucking move.
You don't want to be someone's highlight reel.
Yes. You don't want to be the guy that got Imanari rolled by Marvin Castell.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the other guy.
You don't
want to
be Terry Adam. Like, people know Terry Adam for getting wheel kicked by Barbosa.
Did you just say wheel?
Josh, I always say wheel kicked.
Wheel? What are you talking about?
He gets wheel kicked by Barbosa.
Wheel kicked. Cool whip.
We have Rich Bohant. Josh, this is why I don't say the names.
Starting off strong in 2018. Rich Bethune.
Bethune. Louis Moreno. Via split decision.
Oh, you said that correctly. Good job. This one also got fight of the night. This is getting into this part of the night, by the way, was me fighting to stay awake. And not because this wasn't exciting. It's, again, because I'm old and can't stay awake very late.
About 12:30, 1 o'clock at this point?
Getting into that, yeah.
Yeah, we're Eastern time, so these California cards are sometimes a little rough for us to watch. Even though
normally,
they start at 5.
Normally they're great because they start at 6 o'clock, which means 9 o'clock. I'm like, okay, I can miss some of these earlier matches, and then I'll come back and watch them the next day or when they come up. But I won't miss the black belts or even a good chunk of the brown belts.
Yeah, because usually the brown belts are like, are guys you're going to start seeing the next year or 2 years that are going to start to make waves.
Right. But again, this one was jumping all around. And by the time I got home at 10 o'clock, getting off of work, already tired, I'm watching it. And I'm like, okay, here's a brown belt. Sweet. And then I saw a kids match and I was like, is something wrong with my computer?
Yeah, they were really confused too. They went from brown belt to yellow belt. And I went, I am quite confused as to what is occurring right now. And the commentators didn't even make an issue out of it. They just kind of kept going, and I was
glad they rolled with the punches.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, hey, this order is... They did make mention, and it's like, this is what it's listed as, but this is the match. But that wasn't it. They didn't harp on it like we would.
But that's good commentary. That just keeps you informed about what you're looking at.
Anyway, getting back on track, Elliot Kelly defeated David Mitchell by kneebar.
One match Josh and I didn't get a chance to touch on, but I still think was worth a rewatch and worth mention and discussion, was Bruce Jenner-John versus Tyler Bray. Now, this was Fight to Win Pro's first pair jiu-jitsu match, and it was good. It was really back and forth. You saw John put up a lot of sub attempts, but apparently Tyler benches about 400 pounds, so he didn't seem to be able to ever get the arms trapped. Tyler has really interesting control, and he seemed to let his back get attacked and then wait for the hands to come down so that he could try to progress his game and do what he was going to do. And the commentators seemed to have a pretty good understanding of what his game entailed. It was a really interesting match, and I was really happy to see it. Eventually, Bruce Jenner-John got the nod through decision, and I really highly suggest you go back and rewatch it because it was a good match. So back to some more black belt results.
Davin Maxwell defeated AJ Fonseca by split decision. Guess who won by armbar, man?
Would that be Marcos Torregrossa?
That'd be correct.
I think we predicted that, Josh.
I think you did.
Torregrossa defeats Dom Hoskins via armbar. And we predicted that last week, so I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit for that.
Main Ken, I didn't predict that. I thought it was a safe bet. but Main called it.
I believe I was guessing at light speed and got lucky.
The main event, which I was super excited for, it wasn't a letdown, but it wasn't what I expected it to be. It was mostly on the feet. It didn't go down too much. Vagner Hosha defeated Dustin Akbari by split decision. Some people were not happy about that. I could see it going either way. Vagner was attempting a little bit more of takedowns, but it was, again, mostly contested on the feet.
Do you think he gets it for kind of being more active, more activity is probably what wins it for him?
Maybe.
I mean, it's a split decision, so again, you're a split decision. One guy saw it differently is the only reason why it went
right
that way.
So, I mean, it was up in the air.
Of split decisions on this card, too.
Yeah.
Especially for the black belts. It was interesting.
It's all subjective, and each referee is going to see it their way and score it like, okay, well, this guy did this, and this guy did that. And unless it's just so wrong where you're like, what the fuck was that guy thinking? Which happened on the Maryland card where I was looking at the ref that would pick the other person like, What match were you watching? Because I just watched, that guy just got his ass beat.
Yeah, that was funny. It happens, but you're looking at it's reffing, and it's guys that are judging based on a different criteria than
personal view, I guess. It is what it is, and reffing is a hard. It can be a hard job.
Judging
if you make
is
it
super
hard. Judging same way. So, you know, I'm not mad at the decision. I know we're going to see both of those competitors again, maybe possibly a rematch somewhere down the line.
I wouldn't be surprised
some event, maybe Fight to Win again. Fight to Win is going up and down California right now. So
the next couple weeks you're in California.
Yeah. Well, yes. And then they jump over to Vegas and then they come back to California.
That's 3 hours. That's 2 hours.
Depending
it's a 2 hour
where they
drive
are, maybe
from LA.
But what happens if they're, you know, in San Francisco, then it's further.
Josh, I don't understand the geography of California. I've been to LAX once when I was flying to Australia. That is the most amount of time I've been in California.
Okay.
I had a 9-hour layover in LAX.
San Francisco's up north.
Ah, NorCal.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, this event was good, though. They're starting off the year strong with paying their athletes $36,900, you know, to start the year off. They usually sell out in California. I think they sold out all of their NorCal events and most of their California events last year, so based on the pay, it looks like they did the same this year.
Yeah. And again, hoping for that $1 million payout mark and higher. Always, again, we're going to get behind the companies that get behind grapplers. So again, good on them, and lots of Fight to Win to come this year. So that wraps up Fight to Win. We are going to sound like death moving into the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam. Man, my transitions are balls. And Maine's over here like cackling at me like, you dumb piece of
shit.
I mean,
that was really bad.
It was really bad. But
so moving on to UAE Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi Grand Slam in Abu Dhabi.
Hey, how about that? Here comes Josh's crying corner again. What the fuck are they doing with these matches the way it's filmed and the way it's presented to us? First of all, it gets to us really quick, but the way it's presented is garbage.
We're trying to rewatch the matches and
finding stuff is,
they don't put the whole stream up. They put up piecemeal matches. So the finals, we have some matches for like day one or even day two that it's a 6-minute match
and
the video starts at like 4 minutes, 30 seconds left in the match. You're like, okay, I missed a minute and a half and the guy's up 2 points. I literally have no idea what happened, and I have no idea how to figure out what happened because the only resource, no one follows grappling. There's no play-by-play of like what happened, so literally the only way to find this information is to watch the match, and there's a minute and a half missing of the match. So that happened.
I'm shaking my head. It's crazy. And their search is
garbage.
The search is bad. It is really bad. You'll start typing in something, you're like, the fuck?
His name coming up? It's like the old Fight Pass search. If you ever use that, circle like 2014, where you type Demetrius Johnson and you'd get like Kamal Chalarus, Lieben or like a Silva fight. You're like, that's not Demetrius Johnson at all. He wasn't even on that card. So that's kind of what we're dealing with now. But on to the 55 kilogram.
Let's get division. Into it.
We're just going to go through the finals for these because
finding the other matches is a pain in the dick, to put it lightly. So rooster weights, the really tiny guys. So what is everybody going to do?
My people, Josh.
Your people? These people are smaller than you.
Yeah.
They are.
This is one or two weight classes below me.
These are smaller than you. We are not close to your weight class yet,
Josh,
sir.
This is the weight of people that you lost off your body from when you were fat to when you were not fat.
A little bit more, but close. Close. So it was Jose Carlos Lima versus Masaki Todoroko. Guard play. They both sat at the beginning, but somehow Jose was given an advantage. Maybe he popped up really quick and they just gave it to him. That was
a little weird.
That was a little weird, but it wasn't anything that, you know, it bothered me. I was like, it is what it is. But this was 50-50 almost the entire time, where it's like, all right, so Masaki knocks him over. Now he's up 2-0.
Well, they were trying to score. It was one of those matches that was the 50-50 match where they're trying to score. They're trying to get the back points and get the back. Yeah, be the last one.
Yeah, something that Kishinyo does all the time, where he'll go down but then come up and then try to come up on an ad or just be the last person up.
This is why people hate 50-50. It was a good match. I don't have a problem with the match, but this is why people hate 50-50 is for this kind of match.
But it literally went back and forth where Masaki at one point was trying to pass. Jose at one point was trying to pass. It went back and forth. Jose comes up like with about 20 seconds left, probably even less than that, 8-6. And they restart it and they smack hands and like, go. And with 4 or 5 seconds left, Jose legitimately runs away, just runs. And I was like, you're not going to say, hey, don't do that. And I get like, oh, I don't want to get touched and possibly lose something on takedown. But he was still up and ad. So even if he got taken down, he would have won. But it was just amusing how he just bolted for the last 3 to 5 seconds.
I'm done. Look, you know you're up. You know you win. You're not going to take a point away for 3 seconds.
You're going to, you know,
you'll get a warning. But you're still up. And warnings don't do anything unless you're even. It's gamesmanship.
And it was a very interesting match where it was going back and forth and just seeing their little grip changes and everything like that.
The small little adjustments in the 50-50. Yes. You know, I like 50-50 a lot, and so this will be something that I'll go back to rewatch because, you know, it was good 50-50 work.
Absolutely. Jumping into the 62-kilogram category, Joao Miao versus his teammate Hiago George. They do not allow closeouts.
Which I like. You can't close out with your teammate.
And
I think it's bullshit.
You have to compete against each other, and I think, just like Abu Dhabi, if you work the match, they'll just DQ you, and and that'll be that. Now you're DQ'd.
Which I like, which is like, if you're going to go in and you're going to meet in the finals, you can't just, you can't close out. We're doing a combat sport. You can't close out.
I'm going to make that shit look as real as possible, but it's going to be planned.
That's fine, but don't make it look planned. Like, I think that you should have to, if you have two guys that are from the same weight class in the same gym, and you decide to do that, you understand that, hey, I might have to fight the guy from my gym at the end.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do the wildest shit possible. That's really about it.
You're going to try to get as close to you get as getting DQ'd as possible?
Without getting DQ'd, yes. Yes, absolutely.
That's reasonable.
So, Joao, they've competed against each other before. He just has him. And it was not very long, and he just snapped up a toehold really quick and was like, all right, this is over. Give me my medal. And took it. It was awesome.
So, Yao Miao takes it. Yao Miao.
Yao Miao. Yao Miao.
Yeah, 62-kilogram division.
I think this podcast should be more of us making fun of each other when we fuck up something. I mean, we could fill an hour with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Easily. Oh,
totally.
We could fill an hour a week with that, Josh.
Oh, definitely.
Just like you give me a list of names, and even ones I know, like Guy's Smart Jim, I'll just butcher him.
What's my guy's name? Jeff? Oh, my God.
Jeff?
My name, Jeff.
Moving on to 69 kilograms, we have Paulo Miao.
You said it. You had it. Paulo Meow.
I know. I got nervous, Josh. I was like, I got to the whole name. Didn't mess it up.
Yeah. This was awesome because it was brought up and we didn't really talk about it the previous week because we weren't aware of it. And then he gets in because the smaller UAE events are not under like WADA, so they don't test. So he's allowed to do it, but he can't do the main one. The main Grand Slam thing?
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Paulo Meow is currently suspended for steroids.
For pissing hot.
He had the steroids in his system, which kind of makes sense. You are the identical twin brother who competes a whole weight class up from your other identical twin brother.
No, I think that's the thing. It's like they rock, paper, scissors to see who has to go down, and Joao lost, and he's like, God damn it.
Yeah. So he's banned from IBJJF, all of them, I think. But
he's banned from it completely. Anything that's under WADA, he's banned from.
And this event's not under WADA, so they were like,
so he got to go
registered
in.
Late,
so it was
did
cool.
It?
He, it was cool that you get to see him compete in the gi. He's suspended until September of this year.
I don't remember. I thought it was 2 years, but no, I think it's...
No, because he didn't compete in 2017.
Oh, so he's already
so
done
it.
So
it's 2 years. It was the 16 and then 17. So not until September is he going to be competing. And then he's going to come back with a vengeance. With a vengeance. Oh, he's going to bring down that flaming sword of Baron Bolo goodness. It was awesome seeing him, is what I'm saying. He just came out and was like, you know what? Fuck Thiago Bravo. Fuck that guy. I'm going to beat him up. And he just came in, went hard with Baron Bolo, and his Del Hiva came up, you know, trying to just pass and be a monster. And he shut him out 6-0.
He's aggressive this match. I mean, they're both pretty aggressive. But
passing is getting so much better, and it's so exciting that they're not just like, I'm going to sit to my ass and sweep you and get on top and crab ride and take your back. They're like, we're going to fucking
He was
pass.
Shoving that knee through on the knee cut hard. And he was like, oh, he's getting so passed. Good. And he was getting passed well.
So good. So, so, so good.
So he dominates that, wins 6-0, wins the division. On to 77 kilograms. Josh, now I'm not doing that name.
Ooh, no, say it. Say it. Say it.
Flavio Vannata.
You know, we had somebody in our gym with that same exact last name. And
Is
you
that
can't
Viana?
Say that? Yes.
Is it Flavio Vannata?
You just said the name.
Flavio.
And you added a T to that?
Viana.
There you go. Good job.
Hey.
This is a 77 kilo. Flavio Viana shuts down Lachlan Giles. Lachlan Giles looked great this tournament, but Flavio just beat up his half guard. And, he was trying to get through, but Lachlan could not do anything with his half guard.
Didn't we just see Lachlan recently?
Yeah, he's been competing a lot.
Yeah.
He was...
Was he at Worlds?
No Gi Worlds, yes.
Okay, that's where I thought I saw him.
He just couldn't get anything going. And Flavio was just going, trying to pass. Nothing. And by the way, this is all brought to you without caffeine. So
just apple juice.
Just pure apple juice. So Flavio took it on 3 advantages. This
on the 85. Oh, sorry. Continue.
Ooh, no. I was going to say the same thing. So
on
go ahead.
85 kilogram division. We have Negromonte. Charles Negromonte, I think, is the guy's name.
Yes, good job.
Yeah, because that's the guy.
Proud of you.
They just beat Craig Jones.
Proud of you
at Worlds, and that's why I know his name.
Good job.
Guy under Hodger. He's one of the instructors at Hodger's in London.
Good job.
Did my research, Josh.
Say the other one.
Earns decision win.
No. Say the other guy's name.
Bahanise.
Azaki Benahis, I believe it is. That's one of the ones that I screw up as well. Man. This shit was boring. There's not much more to add to that. This shit was boring. It was on the feet. You can't bring anything more to that. This shit was boring. You know.
It went to referee's decision.
Yeah.
Which
great.
For you, I mean, that happens occasionally at UAE, but
this is what this is what I tell people. Please don't make me pick one of you. Because if the shit is that boring and you can't do anything to like gain a slight advantage, I hate picking people. You know, oh, your hair is prettier. You know, I like your shorts better. You know, if nobody does anything, I can't do anything about it. And I'm like, oh, great. Now I have to pick one of these two idiots.
So that's what happened there. On to the 94 killer. And again, we're not disparaging. It's just, it just wasn't, as far as a spectator view, it wasn't just an entertaining match. You know, both these guys are top high-level guys, but this match was kind of a stinker. On the 94 kilograms, we have Helton Silva.
Good job. He beat Adam Wodzinski.
Which I can say now because I've said his name enough.
Good job. Good job. This was a display of Wodzinski's flexibility and butterfly game. The commentator for this one was kind of confused by Wodzinski's game, so he was saying a lot of things and then just...
Did he not watch the BJJ Scout video?
Obviously not.
All four parts?
Obviously not.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
He's like, I don't know what he's doing. He's like, oh, he's using this hook here. And it's like, yeah, that's his game. Like,
that's what he does.
That's what he's doing.
Like, someone did a breakdown of his game because that's what he does.
A very detailed breakdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wodzinski was actually up for a near sweep. And it just kept going and going. And Silva finally came through and almost passed. And he had done similar almost passes, but not something that would award him an advantage.
But that's sort of kind of what Wodzinski does, is guys will get super close to almost passing him, and then he at the last second will stop the pass and turn into a sweep or regain the butterfly and just like
invert.
That's what he does. Something. Like he gets, you get so close to passing him. It reminds me of the Meowth. So you get so close to passing him and you just don't.
It's funny that you say it reminds you of the Meowth. Because Silva is a Unity Jiu-Jitsu representative out of Brazil. So it came down literally to the last seconds, and Helton just came through and did look more aggressive after the initial sweep attempt, and they gave it to him with the decision.
What'd you think of that, Josh?
It was a cool match to watch. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed seeing the butterfly guard being deployed a lot through Wodzinski. I enjoyed Helton's relentless pressure and coming forward and trying to pass and everything like that. So it's definitely one to go back and view
again.
I always
rewatch Wodzinski because I'm trying to get better at my butterfly game. And he's a dude, he just plays it. He's one of the few guys that plays butterfly at a high level that you see, you know, frequently. So
yeah,
good match.
Rounding out the men's finals is the 110-kilo division.
Igor Silva
versus Mauricio Lima. Silva almost finished the match like super, super quick with an armbar attempt. Just boom. Super fast.
Did you say boom, Josh?
I said foom. I didn't say boom this time. I hate when I say boom.
I cut out more booms of the show than anyone can...
I only said like two booms last time. You for that. Okay. As well as fuck you again.
yeah, he almost finishes it right, like real, real quick.
Real quick. And they rolled out of the mat while he was in the armbar. So you get points for that.
Which I like.
So really after that, the match went into 50-50. And that's where it ended, where they went back and forth with it. And Igor snuck away with the advantage win. If you can watch the finals, except for the Charles Negromonte match, watch them. They're all very, very good finals matches.
I'm a big fan of the UAE, just the way they kind of do matchups and their rule set. For some reason, I like
The 6 minutes encourages action.
Yeah, if you get a boring match, you get a 6 minute boring match, not a 10 minute pushing on each other's face match. I just like that's that, like, true. Guy, you see more action out of guys in that 6 minute time frame because the gas tank isn't a problem because all these guys can roll hard as shit for 6 minutes and they're going for subs. You just get, I think you get more action in the matches. You don't, when a guy's running away with the points, like, he gets 6 minutes of that. He doesn't get 10 minutes of running away with points.
But then you get to see, like, 75-0.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch that, but it's like usually it's like, okay, you're up 12 points to zero, okay, you're going to beat him. Here, when a guy gets up 12 points in 6 minutes, you're like, damn, you were fucking that dude up.
I really want to see somebody go up like 100 points in a 10-minute time frame. I want to know if that's physically possible.
You think you get the takedown, 2 points, and then let's say that you maintain every position and you go from side to knee on belly to mount to back mount back to side. Like if you roll the roll them,
it's not a continual scoring thing. Like you go up the positional hierarchy. So you would get the takedown 2, you would pass 3, so you're at 5, knee on belly 7, mount 9. If they turn over to the back, that's another 4, so you're at 13 points. Mm-hmm. So then you have to start over again.
You have to get back to guard.
You have to start over again.
You have to let the guy get back to guard.
You have to think you have to do that like 8 times, 7 or 8 times to get to 100 points.
You might be able to do it.
LiAngelo could do it.
LiAngelo could do it. I think Galvao maybe could.
Herbert Santos possibly could do it as well.
Maybe. He's got the explosiveness to do it, I think.
He did it at a local tournament. He beat the shit out of somebody on the East Coast when he was still with
Lloyd,
and he was up something like 60 some odd points to nothing.
Jesus,
before
like
he finally finished somebody. But that's wild. So here's to hoping in 2018 I get to see somebody win by 100 points. It's gonna be rude. It's gonna be rude,
Josh.
Is what it is. That shit's gonna be rude.
You're gonna have to offend the Galvao at the Worlds or something.
Oh god, it's gonna be rude.
You've seen that video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the classic.
Duh.
Yeah. I love that song too. Everyone hates that song. I love that song.
The women's brown and black belt.
For UAE, they combine, because there typically is not a abundance of female competitors, they combine brown and black belt divisions for women.
Let's get real, really quick. Where the fuck are all these matches?
Female matches are not up at this point.
Where are they? And even if they are, you get halfway through the matches, or you get filmed from halfway across the room. There's 3 categories, 55, 62, and 90. There are no... If I type in Sam Cooke looking for video for Samantha Cooke, can't find anything. I started to type in Charlotte Baumgartner from the 62. Nothing was found. You know, what...
Matches aren't there.
They're not there. And I don't know if it's a thing because of... I don't know why. I don't know if it's a thing for whatever reason. They're not featured there. I know they're there because you can find some of the women's matches, but they're like blue belt matches, or again, they're halfway through a match. What the fuck?
So 55 kilogram is taken by...
Amanda Montero. So this is bothering me. I think if you're going to follow these Grand Slam events, maybe send somebody to dedicate the coverage of all of it, because the way it was covered was not good. Not good at all. And it's frustrating. I hope you can hear that in my voice. Like, I'm angry reading about it, because that's the only thing that I can do, that I can't view it and tell you about the match. I don't want to read you a play-by-play, because that's dumb. You can read your own play-by-play. So we're going to at least tell you who won, and then we'll go from there.
62 kilograms.
Charlotte Baumgartner wins her division, defeated Nadia Mello. And... I want to tell you that these are all good, great matches or anything like that, but I literally have to read off the screen and just be like, this person beat this person.
90 kilograms, Samantha Cooke gets the victory.
Yeah, she beat Tamara Silva out of Cicero Costa. But again, this is one of my gripes, that where are these? If you're going to have these matches, put them up. If not, like, what's even the point of having them there? Like, oh, we support women's judo. How? By letting them compete? Like, we're letting you do this. Fuck that. I want to see, you know, I want to see your Patty Fonteses, your Talita Alencars, your Ray Alexanders, Michelle Nicolini's, Mackenzie Dern's, you know, whoever, Tiani Porfirio. It doesn't matter. My arms are shaking. My head's bobbling around. It's just frustrating that I have to look at this and go, this person beat this. This person opened the match with blistering pass attempts but couldn't stabilize. Or this person came out and it's like, don't tell me this person should be on my radar if I can't fucking watch it. I have to go on like YouTube, because Flow Grappling doesn't want to tell you about anything else. And if this shit's on YouTube, they try to take it down as quickly as possible. So show me the fucking match. Okay. I'm going to stop now before I legitimately get angry and throw one of Maine's glasses across the room. This fuck that. Do a better job. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
So after that nice rant.
Yeah. We stopped recording because I was fuming. I was getting very angry about that.
So things that Josh is not angry about.
Sumo wrestling is back. Sumo wrestling is back.
Now, we've only had one day of this particular basho.
Today,
the Hatsu basho.
Today was the first day. So we got to see the unveiling of the portrait that goes up of who won the previous tournament. They showed that. They briefly, very, very briefly, talked about Harama Fuji. Obviously, he retired, so you know
he was retired.
Yeah. He was retired. So they showed a little like video package, and it showed him when he was starting out, and they were making. I have a very, very, very crude understanding of Japanese. I can pick out numbers. I know some of the words, and they were talking about when he started. And at first, because I didn't see him when he started, and his name was Ama when he started. By the way, he switched his wrestling name after that. That he was 86 kilos when he started. He looked so weird. And that's about 189 pounds. That's so weird to see him like that before he bulked up into what he was. And he wasn't a very, very big sumo wrestler anyway. So it showed him when he started. They did a little clip and it was like, can't gain weight. And they showed him. They showed, you know, his promotion to Ozeki and him changing his name to Harama Fuji. They showed him winning, him getting the Zensho Yusho, the perfect record, so he would become a Yokozuna when he was promoted, and then his final Yusho win. So that was a quick, like, here he was, now he's out the door. Something else that happened, you can't escape it nowadays. The main ref, the most senior referee, the Gyoji, was suspended for sexual harassment. Apparently,
you can't do that.
Apparently, he got drunk, and this might take a little swerve. He got drunk, and one of the, you know, starting out referees, one of the, you know, lower guys, a rookie referee, I guess, took him back to his hotel because they were doing a little tour that they do. And then he tried to like grope on and kiss this referee. So he got suspended. And the talk is he's going to be suspended for the next 3 basho. And he's already put in his letter of resignment. So
resignation, Josh?
Yeah. Fuck you. Sometimes I can say bad words.
Resignment is technically correct.
I can say English, the wrong words.
It's yeah, we have a word for that. So that's what's happening in sumo right now. We're just having the first day of this particular basho. And next week, we'll cover it in a little more depth once
midway
we have
point.
Halfway.
Yeah, we're already seeing some things that are interesting. The next guy that's in line to be head referee made a bad decision. And if you follow sumo wrestling at all, you notice that the referees have knives on their side and they're supposed to kill themselves if they make the wrong decision. They don't do that, but it's funny that it's in there. Kisuno Sato lost that match, and if he looks like dog shit, he's going to be forced to retire, and we're going to have one less Yokozuna again. All the Mongolians, most of the Mongolians won emphatically, so, you know, they're standing up for their countryman that was forced to retire. But that's it for now. More at the midway point. Yeah, that's really it.
So,
we're going to speculate.
Not going to speculate. We have the brackets out.
No, we're going to speculate.
So
that's speculating.
That is speculating. The 2018 IBJJF European Championship brackets are out. We're going to touch and break down the black belt brackets for adult divisions.
This is all happening on Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah. Well, the finals are.
Oh, really? Because if you look at the first match, it says Sunday, January 21st at 9:30 a.m.
I would be incorrect then, Josh.
I know that.
Is what that says.
Man can't even read.
Josh, I'm not a good reader guy.
I never learned how to read good.
So for the adult male rooster weight division.
Do you want to just, you want to take a stab at who do you think is going to end up in the finals? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, Josh, that's what I want to do.
Good, because that's what we're going to do anyway. So, you know, we've got the brackets in front of us. We're going to make some quote-unquote educated guesses. We'll say who we think is going to end up in the semis and into the finals and things like that. You know, we're not going to go through the entire bracket because I think that shit's boring, and I'm pretty sure you think that shit's boring. So, you know, we see, you know, your regulars in the rooster weight division, Koji Shibamoto.
Are these guys seeded, Josh? Are these seeds on the side here?
The way it's in, yes. It's sort of. It's the amount you compete and things like
that. So it's by points and not necessarily representative at all of who's going to win.
No. Just, you know, Jose Carlos Souza is not the number one rooster weight. And they're like, yeah, this. Or, you know, George Nakamura from GF Team is not the number 10. It's the way it's, I don't know. It's very arbitrary how they seed it. You see Koji Shibamoto. You see Nobuhiro Sawada. I was getting really excited to make Maine say Vincent Wen's name, but he said it properly. So
it's not Nugent, it's Wen. And I actually knew that for once.
I was very upset. Hyago Souza from Alliance is there. I'm going to take a stab that obvious. I'm going to say that Koji Shibamoto and Hyago Souza are going to be on the semis of the one side, and Nobuhiro Sawada and Rodney Barbosa are going to be on the other side. And that is going to give us a Hyago Souza versus Sawada final.
I think Sawada would be in the final. I'm not sure on the other side of the bracket who I would pick there, but I for some reason think Sawada is going to be in the finals for this one. So moving on from the rooster weight division
to light feather,
which is a much smaller bracket here.
I love Joao Miao's full name. I don't know why. I just love it. The whole
Joao Ricardo Bordignon Miao.
Bordignon Miao. That's very French sounding.
He's got the little ftk over the A.
I hate you so much.
That's why I love doing the podcast.
So Joao Miao and Hyago George are both already in the semis. They got buys into it. They are in the semis. And so then it all depends on who's coming in to compete against them. You have Hideyuki Yamada and Rene Lopez and Pablo Montovani and Manny Tavene. Yeah.
Ugh. I honestly think that we're going to get Yao and Hyago George.
Yao.
Jiao Miao.
Joao.
Joao. Josh.
Holy shit.
I told you like three episodes ago.
You made a Japanese wrestling reference without even realize it was a Japanese wrestling reference.
I think we're going to get that guy.
You know who's going to get excited about that and is going to text me when he hears this? George. George is going to go, holy shit, did he just do that? And I'm going to go, yes, and I made fun of him for it. So, if you know what we're talking about,
I think Yao.
Joao Miao versus Hyago George is in the finals. That I'm calling it right now.
I think Yao will take it too.
Yeah. You keep saying Yao on purpose now.
Yeah, I do.
Featherweight finals. Oh, this is a big one. There's a whole bunch of people in this one. This is a nice looking one.
12 person bracket.
Just peeking at it. You know, you see Isaac Doderlin, you see Gianni Grippo, John Thomas, Kevin Maheka, Brian Maheka, Tomashiki Sarah, Marcio Andre, Izaki Paiva. Ooh, this one's going to be...
Do you think Grippo's going to run into Paiva here?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, Paiva has a first round bye.
Yeah.
And Grippo does not, but...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be one, two, at least two matches for him to get there. And you know, this isn't anything bad against Grippo, but sometimes he's just not on. He's hot or cold, and hopefully he's hot. It'll be cool to see him going, you know, just seeing any of the American, just seeing anybody. It's
yeah, we've seen him compete recently. Ooh. We saw him at Kasai.
Yes we did.
I think it's the last time we saw him.
He's looking good on that way. Marcio Andre is going to be in the final, calling it right now.
He's going to buy in the first round, the other side of the bracket?
I don't know. This is very interesting. I'm going to say in the semis, Isaac Dodorlin versus Marcio Andre. And that'll be a very interesting match.
I could see that with the way the brackets are laid out.
That is going to be a very interesting match. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Do you think he gets through Grippo?
Who?
You think Paiva gets through Grippo to get that match?
I don't know. I think that might... That's on the one bracket. This is the other bracket. It would, if Marcio Andre and Isaac Dodorlin on one side would be an awesome semi. Izaki Paiva versus Gianni Grippo would also be an awesome semi, but I could also see Brian Maheka over there.
It's an interesting bracket. This could go a lot of different ways. It really depends on who's on, how guys are looking.
Yeah.
And
how their travel went,
because a lot of these guys aren't in Europe, aren't based out of Europe. So, you know, how they've adjusted.
I'm going to say Marcio Andre versus... I'm going to put myself out on a limb and say Grippo. I'm going to say Grippo is going to make it to the finals. I'm going to say Marcio Andre makes it to the finals. It's going to be interesting. What would be even cooler is if you have an all-American final with Dodorlin and Grippo technically on the same team. I wonder if they would close out or compete. That would be an awesome match to watch, too.
They'd probably close out.
I don't know, but it would be an awesome match.
The light black belt division.
Lightweight black belt division. One side of the bracket. First match, this one's going to be a barn burner. Michael Lange versus John Combs. That's going to be a good match. That is going to be a exciting match.
And it's in the quarters.
Round of 16.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting match. Whoever comes from the next match, the Tommy Pulkkinen. Did I say that right? I'm sorry, people from Finland. Idea. I'm not very good at names. Versus Ilkay Balut. Balut is the duck egg that still has the...
Balut.
Okay. But still, the duck egg thing is Balut.
Balut.
It's Balut. You want to ask my Filipino coworkers? Because it's Balut. I didn't think so.
You're not wrong, Josh.
I know. Whoever has to compete against whoever wins the Michael Lange John Combs match is not going to be happy. Moving on, you have Jake McKenzie. Honestly, I think Jake has been looking really, really, really good. And honestly, I think he's going to be in the semis.
You think this is breakout performance?
I could say that, yeah. That it would be a breakout performance.
Yeah, Europeans, I think you can see him getting far in the event.
You know, he looked really good in Worlds until he ran into Michael Lange. So that would be a match I would be interested in to see if he has changed anything up to combat Lange's passing or, you know, beating his deep half game. And he plays a different deep half game than what you normally see. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. So on that side, I'm going to say...
We have one more at the end of that, but I don't think that either of these gentlemen will make it past.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying McKenzie's going to make it to that. So he's going to take out either Oliver Lavelle or Hugo Marquez. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we're going to get Lange.
McKenzie versus Lange in the one side of the semi. You want to hit the other side of the
bracket?
Yeah,
there's a strong bracket. We have Edwin Najmi versus Espen. Give me the last name, Josh.
Mathiesen.
I think Edwin takes that. We have Ricardo Rocha Lima versus Alex Gisbert. Josh, I don't know why I always try to do the names.
I don't either, but it's always very interesting.
Yep. We have, I can't do that either,
Ali Sena E.A. Munfaradi. Boom. Crushing it.
Yep. Versus...
Ooh, yeah, say it.
Mauricio Isawada? Iswaki?
There's no D in there. Holy shit. Masahiro Iwasaki. That is phonetic. You could sound that out and it would come out properly.
Josh, he's from Carpe Diem. I got that fine. Then we have Christoph Sucha Abaski. Such or Abaski?
It's bad because I don't have my reading glasses on. Christoph Marek Sukarabski. I bet you that's pretty close.
Versus Hanato Kanuto. I got that one. I've heard his name before from Zenith BJJ. Honestly, this side of the bracket, I see Edwin versus Hanato in the semis. I think Edwin will take it, and I think in the finals we're going to either see Langi or we're going to see Langi and Edwin in the finals.
I'm going to say Langi versus Kanuto in the finals. I think Kanuto will beat Najmi, and then we're going to have a crazy fucking final match with Langi and Kanuto. That shit's going to be wild.
Black belt middleweights. Again, another pretty decent sized bracket. Looks like a 14 man bracket.
Yeah, I like that these are full. So zipping through, sometimes these Brazilian guys have a lot of names and it's not in there. So I'm just going to give you the ones that are visible. Alexandre Cavalieri versus Felipe Silva from Unity. Isaki Benahis versus Barak Saruman.
I think we're going to get Silva versus Azeki in the quarters there.
That's a good guess. And then you have Arthur Pucci versus Jan Cabral. They're going to face off against Jamie Canuto. I'm going to say Jan Cabral takes that.
Jamie Canuto has a bye.
Yeah. I think Canuto takes out Cabral to make it to the semis, and Benahis meets him there. And from there, Benahis takes out Canuto and is in the finals.
That's one side of the bracket. On the other side of the bracket.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, Nathan Mendelsohn.
Good job. Versus?
Alec Balding.
Yeah, that's correct. Good job.
I'm proud of you. Josh. I think Mendelsohn, again, takes that one.
Balding's a tank. He's a tank. It's interesting, but okay. Carry on.
Michael Lira Jr. versus Sergio Raimundo Rios de Silva.
Oh, wow. The whole name.
I'm getting close, Josh. I'm getting there.
The whole name.
I'm actually not sure who takes that. I think Lira will take that.
Lira.
Yeah.
And then, you are really lazy with these names. Santeri Lelouch versus Tommy Langecker. Tommy takes that one. And then Marcos Tinoco has a bye into the corners.
So we'll get Langler versus Tinoco.
Yeah, I think Tinoco takes that one. Lira, I think, goes through Mendelsohn or Balding and goes into the semis versus Tinoco. I think Tinoco takes out Lira, and we end up with a Isaki Benahis. I'm still convinced I'm saying his name wrong. Versus Tinoco with Benahis taking it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Josh. That seems like a good assessment to me.
Jumping into the black belt medium heavy division. On one side of the bracket. Now Maine's terrible pronunciation is rubbing off on me and I can't speak.
Yep.
Charles Negromonte versus Hudson Tellis. Negromonte takes it. Orlando Montero versus Gustavo Santiago. He's from Hillian Gracie. Hillian is known for his guard, so I'm going to say he's got a good guard. But I'm still going to say Orlando Montero takes it. Mateus Godoy, whatever you want to call him, takes on Viking Wong. Yes, that's his real name. He's also a fashion designer, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I believe so.
With a name like Viking, you can do whatever you want, man.
I think he made that special show your old gi with the little clasp thing, like the custom fit one.
That was his?
I believe so, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
So, Mateus Godoy takes that one, and it doesn't matter who takes that one because they have to go against Leandro
and
Lowe.
He has a bye in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give Lowe a bye in the first round. So, you think it'll be Negromonte versus Lowe?
I think it's going to be low in the finals. I don't care who runs into him. It's going to be low in the finals.
So that's one side of the bracket, and we both think that low is going to run through. But he's a medium heavy.
Yeah, so that's cool. He's staying there. So I guess he's going back down a little bit.
Yeah, because we have not seen him at medium heavy. We talked about this a little last week, but we haven't seen him at medium heavy in a little
bit.
For a while. Yeah.
Other side of the bracket. Jose Henrique Cardoza versus Luca Anacoreta.
Luca Anacoreta is from the loitering...
The Brown Belt Kumite?
Yeah, back like 2012-ish.
Yeah, so was Ilkay Balut. So
was a lot of guys. Keen was in that. Gary was in that. Yep. Like, they had a lot
AJ.
AJ was in. They had a lot of big-name guys on that.
The other AJ. AJ Souza was also in that. Also a pretty strong competitor as well. I'm going to say Luca takes that one. Then you have Renato Cardoza.
Has a bye in the first round.
First round. So
we'll probably see him versus Luca.
Yeah, with Renato Cardoza taking that one. Martin Edema? Edema? Edema.
Edema.
Yes.
Edema, Edema is the thing you get in your
you
body.
You know, where your limbs fill up with fluid. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And then you have Mateus Souza from NS Brotherhood. Mateus takes it. I'm going to call that one. If you train with Leandro, you better be good. And I'm pretty sure he's one of those guys that's been popping up in some of the videos as one of those standout guys. And he is against Patrick. I believe that's Patrick Gaudillo with all the names. And it's not.
Yeah,
it's from GF Team.
There's six, four. There's five
four
names.
Names visible right now.
Yeah, and
Patrick
it shows
Pontes,
dot,
Moro,
dot, dot for
Santos.
Last name.
I bet you it says Gaudio after that. So this is my prediction, Leandro Lowe versus Patrick Gaudio.
I agree.
And with Leandro Lowe taking it.
Yeah, it'll be I'm interested to see what Lowe looks like at medium heavy again.
Shredded.
Probably. Just
beefy.
Jacked as shit.
Beefy.
On the Brazilian supplements. Black belt heavyweight bracket. Again, seven-man bracket. Much smaller bracket, but there's some names we know in this bracket.
Names that Maine can say properly.
Yes.
So on one side, you have Helton Jose Mendez da Silva, carry on with a bunch of names, versus Nicholas Penzer. We've already made up our mind who's going to be in the finals, so
yeah.
I'm just...
One of these gentlemen will get beat by Jackson Souza.
Jackson Souza is versus Charles Maguire, and Jackson goes to the finals. On the other side, the match that is also going to be pretty wild to see this coming up because Keenan gets a bye into the semis. You have Adam Wardzinski versus Manoel Fernandez de Oliveira, continuing names.
I think Wardzinski takes that. I think we see Keenan versus Wardzinski, which I couldn't come across it. I haven't seen it before. It'll be fun to see that. I think Keenan takes it, but it will be interesting to see how these two guys...
I'm going to call that Keenan chokes Wardzinski.
What choke?
Collar choke from the back.
Yeah, I can see
that. I'm going to call that.
I think he's going to get past the... I think Wardzinski's probably going to pull first.
He's going to try, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Keenan get past, then Keenan gets the back, and then gets collar choke from the back.
And then Keenan takes the whole division. He's going to outpoint Souza.
Has he ever lost to Jackson Souza? I don't believe
Not
so.
Not off the top of my head. When they met at Brown Belt, he beat him, and I think they've met at Black Belt, and he's beaten him then as well.
I believe so. So I think it'll get you at Keenan in the finals and versus Jackson Souza, and he beats Jackson Souza.
Yep.
Super heavyweight division. We have Herber Santos in this division. Herber Santos is most likely going to win this division.
Ooh. That's not a big jump.
No.
I agree with that.
It's a small division. It's a six-man division. Herber has a bye in the first round. Then he goes against the winner of...
Aria Esfemedes. I said it better before we started recording, and then I screwed it up. Against Marek Zaborg. I'm going to call him Zeborg, because that sounds cool. I'm going to say Zeborg wins, because he's got a cool-ass last name. So Zeborg versus Herber Santos, and then Herber Santos beats Zeborg. On the other side of the bracket, Elliot Kelly has a bye into the semis, and he is against Manuel Ambrosio or Rodrigo Ribeiro. I'm going to say Rodrigo Ribeiro takes it.
I have no idea. I don't really recognize either of those guys' names. So I think we're going to get Elliot Kelly in the finals versus Herberth, and I think Herberth is going to do what Herberth does and
be mean,
smash and be super mean and smash guys.
So finally, ultra heavyweights, the big boys. You have Admilson Gobi Jr. from Lloyd Irvin's versus Victor Hugo Anario da Silva. I'm going to go with Admilson for that one. And then you have Ottavio de Souza Nalati versus Antonio de Padua Sef Nunez. Man. Nalati. Some of these guys that we don't know. So it's a big...
Well, it's Europeans, so a lot of guys...
Some of them are from America, too.
Right,
where
but
they,
a lot
we
of the guys
see.
Are in Europe, so we don't recognize the names because you get European black belts that we don't see as much.
True.
In events that are over here. Just less familiar. It doesn't mean they're not good. It just means I'm less familiar with their names.
America. That's our excuse, America.
And on, excuse.
I know.
Other side of the bracket, we have Lucas Barbosa.
Hulk.
Versus Rafael Gustavo Silva Samoz.
But Hulk was going to take that one.
Yeah, I think so, Josh.
And then you have Ricardo Evangelista versus Ruben Fonseca. Evangelista takes that one.
So we get Hulk and Evangelista in the semis there.
I think Hulk takes the semis, too.
Yeah.
It goes on to the finals versus Nalati, who was in the most boring match ever. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago.
I believe we did, Josh.
Where it was 10 minutes of pushing. But I'm going to say he takes it. Not that he seems like a bad dude. That shit was just a boring match. And then Barbosa's just has been on a tear recently, and he's...
And he's up at ultra heavy.
Yeah, I don't think he's that big. He's just, you know,
I think
in it to win it.
Nogi Worlds, he was at least one division lower.
Super heavy?
I think so.
Super heavy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's really... He's just lifting weights, eating food.
Sure he is, Josh.
Overeem.
So, yeah, I think Barbosa takes this as well.
Yeah.
So that'll do it pretty much for our coverage of the men's Euros.
Sorry for boring the shit out of you with that.
Moving on to the female roosterweight division, two competitors in this division. We have Serena.
Yeah.
Serena Gabrielli.
Gabrielli versus Auti Tamileto. I don't know. That's close.
Do not know either of these women. I apologize.
So pick which name you think is cooler.
Tamata Hetahelo.
I think you added several consonants to that name, but I'm okay with that. Again, we see the stuff and we might not know them. I end up looking up these people and I go, oh, and then I can make more educated guesses. But I have plenty of time to do that for next week when I start rambling on to you about that. So, light feather, you have Talita Alencar versus Vanessa English and Tasia Ferreira versus Livia Gluchowska.
I think we get Talita versus Gluchowska in the finals here.
I think that's a safe bet. That's a good assumption.
Who do you think takes it? I think these women have faced each other before, potentially at EBI. I don't know why. They were both in the EBI bracket, I recall, but I don't know if they faced each other back at EBI 12, the flyweights.
I can't fully remember, but I think Talita's been on a roll, so she is going to take it.
Yeah, she's been on a roll recently. We've seen her all over the place, just competing, and looking good, so I think she takes it. Moving on to the featherweights.
This is a larger bracket.
This is the largest bracket for the women.
Five people in this bracket. Heather Rafferty, if I'm not mistaken, this is her debut at Black Belt. She is against Amanda Montero, who we were briefly just talking about at UAE. I'm not going to bring that up again before I start freaking out. That is a quarterfinals, and whoever wins that is going to take on Emily Thielen. Yeah, I'm not
Thielen
saying
that. Is the correct way to say that.
Cool.
Thielen has a bye in the first round.
Man. I'm going to say Heather Rafferty. Upset. Boom. She takes that one.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then you have Bianca Basilio versus Amelia Tuukkanen in the other side of the semis because they both have byes.
Yeah, in the first round, two byes.
I'm going to call a closeout with Atos Jiu-Jitsu with Bianca Basilio and Heather Rafferty.
I think that's pretty reasonable to say.
I'm going
to
call that one right there.
I hate closeouts, Josh.
I know you do, but
I think that's correct,
I'm going to say that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Moving on to the lightweights.
Four competitors in this one. Charlotte Baumgartner, who we just mentioned again.
From UAE.
Bia Mesquita on one side with Aaron Hurl and Livia Gonçalves on the other side.
I'm really interested to see how the Mosqueda versus Baumgartner matches. That'll be a fun one to see.
Mosqueda is almost untouchable, I feel.
I think she'll get through her, but just given how Charlotte looked at UAE,
I think it'll be
interesting.
It'll be interesting.
I think she probably points her out.
Hmm.
You think she finishes her?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
What?
Choke. Triangle choke. Triangle choke, right there. This is also Erin Hurl's debut at Black Belt, so I had said that last week and I wasn't 100% sure, and then I saw that it was. So I'm going to say she goes to the finals right there. But that is a mountain to climb. For your first finals match, you have to go against Bea Mosqueda.
Oh, yeah. That's good luck with that.
Bea takes the finals.
I'd agree. On to the middleweight. Again, four competitors.
Hey, we've got something going at least. It's somewhat steady. Renata Moreira versus Danielle Alvarez.
I'm not particularly familiar with either one of these women.
Moreira takes it.
Okay. On the other side of the bracket, we have Raquel Canuto, who we saw on numerous stuff the past couple months. Kasai, I think we've seen her on a Fight to Win as well.
Yes.
We've made a scene, what is it on, SUG?
Was it She's on? Been a lot of places.
Yeah, we've
like
seen
recently.
Her recently the past couple months. Pretty active.
This is why we need that match database, so we can keep track of what we're doing.
Yep.
Versus Maria Santos.
We saw her at Worlds. That's where we saw her.
Yeah.
Nogi Worlds.
There you go.
I think Canuto takes it. I think she just won Nogi Worlds, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
I believe she's going to go into the finals versus Maria.
I think Canuto takes it.
She takes it.
Yeah. Been on a tear recently. Why? I don't see her stopping now. Again, another name moving on to medium heavy that we just saw for UAE, Samantha Lee Cook versus Claudia
Onofre. There's, again, a lot of names that gets cut off by the bracketing. It's two-person division. Samantha Cook takes it.
Yep, she just won UAE. I think she continues on with
this. She's on a roll.
Yep. On to the heavyweights. Again, two female competitors.
Jessica Flowers versus...
Josh, I was going to say Jessica Flowers.
Oh, because you want the easy
name? The easy name, not the hard name.
Karina Santi? You really think that's that hard? You were going to try to
pronounce
the middle name?
Josh, I can spell Jessica Flowers. I can write that name out. I understand it. The other name, I've never seen before. So,
Jessica Flowers takes
it.
I
don't want to say it. Yeah, I'd agree. At heavyweight. And then super heavyweight. Again,
are you going to say the first one or the second one? Are you going to give me the slightly harder one?
Yeah, of course. Always, Josh.
Okay, go ahead.
Tiana Porferio.
What?
I'm not doing it.
Say it again. Say her name.
Tiani.
There you go.
Porferio.
There we go. Versus Venla Lukonen. And I'm going to stick with it. I don't care if that's wrong. I'm sticking with it.
Porferio takes this one.
Yes.
Active guard player.
Yes.
Very active competitor.
She takes that and she takes the absolute.
I agree.
Calling it.
So that will conclude the female side of the bracket. We're going to speculate on the absolutes for the men.
There is no bracket out for that yet. That's not really built up because people haven't gone in and said, hey, I want to do it. But I'm going to call it right now that Leandro takes it. And the finals match is going to be Leandro versus Keenan Cornelius. Keenan is going to run into Erberth, and he's going to beat him again.
I think Erberth will definitely be in there.
Yeah. There's not much else to speculate on other than we can just, you know,
well, there's
pull
a lot,
names out of a hat and say these people might be doing
which
it.
Might be equally as, you know, fruitful as what we're doing now.
Right.
But
I think all three guys are going to be going for double gold because they all want that number one spot. So you've got Erberth to compete against. You've got Leandro. You've got Keenan.
Well, the guys are all starting to chase the points now. And this is a major event. I think it's got a 5 times
big points.
Multiplier.
Big point.
It's Europeans.
Something like
so,
that.
So, yeah, there's a lot of points to be had here. So I don't foresee any reason why, especially guys like Keenan, Erberth, Lowe, won't be chasing those extra points they get from the absolute.
Absolutely.
So that'll do it for the Europeans.
All that bullshit speculation that will be completely wrong on and cry. And
I think we get some of them correct, Josh. I actually feel pretty confident in some of my wild guesses.
If we go 100%, I'm calling it right now. It's going to be like Back to the Future shit. We should just start writing all the results down now. And if we're right, just be like, told you so.
What we should do is actually we'll put this episode out and then we'll re-record an episode after and I'll change the time code and re-upload it so it looks like we got everything correct.
We're
so if you're listening to this episode more than 2 weeks after, we got everything correct. It's amazing.
Yeah, suck it. We're so smart.
So we're going to go on to previewing Fight to Win Pro 59 in Scottsdale, Arizona.
It's all jumped into all that other European goodness. So finally, we get this match. Looking forward to it. Benson Henderson versus JT Torres.
It's a big week for grappling again. We got Euros. We got Fight to Win.
You almost forgot Fight to Win. And then he pointed. He was like, I know what this is. That.
I think JT will take it. What do you think?
Yeah, they have competed in the same division at ADCC.
Oh, they did, didn't they? Because Benson got the invitation.
Yeah. I think Torres takes it. I think Torres is just going to play guard.
I think Torres is just a more active jiu-jitsu competitor. Like, Benson pops in for these things now and again, but...
When was the last time Benson fought?
He fought at 55 for Bellator not too long ago. Did he? He got suplexed by...
by Michael Chandler. That was a while ago.
It was, actually. Because
then Chandler, like, blew out his leg in his next fight.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was a while ago.
Oh, that was a long time ago. He
got suplexed.
Yeah. It's been some time.
Why do we sound so shitty? Yeah, he got suplexed.
I just saw the highlight, like, 2 days ago, and it was amazing. I was like, that was an amazing suplex.
People are going to listen to this. These guys are such assholes against you. I mean, do you know this dude? Oh, he got suplexed.
This is our show, Josh. Moving on from that match. That's a welterweight title match.
Hell yeah.
I think it's a little interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
Benson's going to be the bigger guy, but JT's coming off that ADCC win.
Yeah. He's,
it's going to be,
it's going to be a tough match. I think it's in the gi too.
Gonna be good. It's just not in the gi. No way. It's in
Benson's promotion picture is him in the gi.
I don't care if it's in the gi. Does it say gi? No, it doesn't. I'd say this is a no gi match.
All right.
I will bet you $5 as a no-gi match.
I'll bet $5 on that.
Shake on it. We just shake. You hear that? You can't hear it, but we just shook on it.
You're shaking on a microphone, Josh.
Well, maybe you heard the hands smacking together before we shook.
Yeah.
It's $5 right there.
So on to the next match, we have a 150-pound black belt gi match.
Gerson.
Gerson.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to buy you a pair of those readers from the dollar store. Maybe that'll help you out.
Probably won't, Josh.
From Roots.
Versus Jeff Curran from Team Curran.
It's awesome to see him back. 170-pound black belt gi match. Thomas Keenan versus Daniel after I make fun of you.
Merikar.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. Merikar.
We have a 215-pound black belt gi match versus Sal Flores versus Mike Blucara.
Berlaka.
That name. 215-pound black belt gi match, Parker Lapp versus Bo Tribolet.
Triple A.
200-pound black belt gi match, Shannon Rich versus Seth Daniels.
Shannon the Cannon Rich versus Seth Fight to Win Daniels. That is not his nickname. What does he call himself? I can't remember.
I don't recall.
Oh.
Wait, is this Seth first
Make
first
money,
match?
Fuck bitches? I don't know. Something ridiculous. This is his first match as a black belt, not his first match
he
against
filled
a black
in
belt.
Once when he was a brown belt a couple fight wins ago, jumped in. But this is his first one since he'd been promoted to black belt.
I do like his promo picture where he's holding that big old dookie chain.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. Oh,
that's great.
Yeah.
That is
I was like,
great.
Who is this dude all tattooed up with those big tattooed hands? Like, oh, that's a promoter. Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to watch this promotion.
185-pound black belt gi match. Paul Nava versus Mario Gasciola?
We've seen Paul Nava before on Fight to Win.
Yep.
Pretty recently, actually.
Yep. 180 black belt no-gi match. Scott Bowler versus Anthony Torres.
175-pound black belt gi match. David Barnes versus Michael MacGregor.
MacGregor? It's McGregor, just not MC. It's MAC. McGregor.
He's MacGregor now.
MacGregor. What's up, MacGregor? 165 black belt match. Sean Downey versus Diogo Ferreira. 155-pound black belt gi match.
Jonathan Van Buren versus Gabriel Rivero.
Oh, good job. Good job. 145-pound black belt gi match. Josh Rodriguez versus William Wolk.
And then after that, we go on to the brown belt middleweight no-gi title.
Ooh.
Jake Watson versus Hunter Colvin.
Yeah. Ooh, they got another title belt, title match, brown belt, lightweight no-gi title. James Partridge versus Tyson Antillian. Cool. And then you get down through the rest of the card. So you, that wraps that up. There's a whole bunch of other matches, 30 at least, possibly 31. You never know. Hopefully tons of submissions. Hopefully lots of excitement.
Yeah, this looks like a good one. I'm excited for this one. It's going to be a packed week between the Europeans and Fight to Win. So
I hope we're not cursed where every time we say we're excited for something and then it turns into a fucking shit show. And it's like, God, that was boring. Why do you guys keep saying this is exciting and then it sucks? So
it's jiu-jitsu. Sometimes shit sucks.
Sometimes shit does suck.
Sometimes it's awesome too, though.
Yes.
You watch Wagner Hosha body triangle people into oblivion in overtime.
Yeah.
So that pretty much wraps up this episode. Some other things on the horizon. Polaris 6 is coming out. That main card is not out yet. We have Craig Jones.
Not the full card,
and
anyway.
Jake Shields and that for the title. They're now going to change up the rule system a little bit. We'll touch on that as that gets closer. That's middle of February. ACB JJ 10 is also their final card is announced again in February. We will touch on that and preview that entire card. That
as it gets closer.
One of the most stacked cards I have ever seen, if not the most stacked cards I've ever seen. Everyone is a world champion, former world champion, ADCC champion. So we will touch on that.
Not everyone, but
fully cover that.
You know, there are a lot of really good guys on here, and the shit's going to be crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I can pick stuff out right now and start talking about it, but it's so far ahead that I don't want to.
But we want to mention it now to get you hype.
I know you've seen it on the internets, on the interwebs. People have been posting it. People are getting excited about it.
We're getting excited about it. I'm excited about it. So that does it for this week. I'm Maine.
I'm Josh.
With the Grappling Rewind.
Deuce.
As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something you want us to cover, you want to clarify, you know, we are here.
You want to tell us we're idiots? Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, you know, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind Podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.